the force is with me. If we could just if we could just take a moment, we're going to pray for Jonathan and Avery, and of course Stephen and Sylvia, Jonathan's parents, and want to pray for his healing. You know, we're not really sure what's going on with him. It's an upper respiratory deal. They don't know. They really don't know. They've ran all kinds of tests, and so praying for God just to break through. He knows what's up, you know, and praying for his healing. And also, you know, as a mom and dad for, you know, Sylvia and Stephen, I can't imagine, you know, how difficult that is for them. We're used to, you know, having Jonathan on stage playing guitar, and, you know, he's all energy all the time and a lot of fun. And to see him in a bed like that, you know, with no energy, we just need God to do something amazing there. So pray that. So have so much respect for Avery and just pushing through this morning. And let's lift him up, okay? So, dear God, we say thank you, Lord, for your promises and your word. Thank you, God, for how you're faithful in every season, as we just sang about. And God, we do press into you and all of your goodness, just all of who you are. And God, we just pray healing over Jonathan, Lord. Doesn't matter if the doctors ever figure out what's been going on with his body. We just pray, Lord, that you would heal him. And so, God, I pray that you would touch him directly and heal his lungs, bring everything back into order as it is supposed to be. Whatever the cause, bring that back together. Renew his strength. I know he's just so exhausted last night. And I just pray that you would renew his strength, Lord, and give him energy, and that he would feel in his own spirit this turning, this shift, that just as much as he felt yesterday, like his body was kind of shutting down and not going in the right direction, Lord, that he would feel even stronger, that touch from you, to know that you're healing his body, that he's getting well. And so, God, we just pray for a turn for him. And we thank you for him. We thank you for the blessing he is to so many of our lives, God. Thank you for Jonathan. And we love you, Lord, and we trust you. And in your name we pray these things, Jesus. Amen. All right, so we're in this series called Running with the Giants, based on a book that a guy named John Maxwell wrote called Running with the Giants. And the whole kind of premise behind his deal is you have all these giants of the faith. Many of them are listed in kind of like the faith chapter. If you want to know what the faith chapter of the Bible is, it's like Hebrews 11 is like the faith chapter. So if you read Hebrews 11, you get like a definition of faith at the beginning, and then all these great people of faith are listed, and some of the things that God did through them, which is why they're considered like giants of the faith. And some of them are like obvious. You know, Moses is fairly obvious, and some of the others are like, okay, yeah, they should be on that list. But then there are others like the guy we talked about last week, Samson's like, why is he on the list? Because he pretty much failed all the time. You know, he did everything wrong, but he's on the list. And if you don't know why he's on the list, go listen to last week's message. You'll see why. But good reason why he's there. And there's a lot that we can take from his story. And ladies like Rahab, who you know, Rahab was a prostitute, and she made the list, the Hall of Fame of Faith list. There are a lot of people who didn't make it. She made the list. And why is she on there? Great reasons why she's on there also. And there's another lady on there named Mary. We're going to talk about her today, the mother of Jesus. We'll talk about her today. But this is the whole premise for the book. It's like you have these giants who've gone on before us, and you have this passage of scripture we see in Hebrews 12, verse 1, which is like our theme verse for this series. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, the idea is we're surrounded by these giants of the faith, this great cloud of witnesses who are watching us run our race. So it's like they're in the stands, and they're watching us run our race. And so the giants are watching over us, this great cloud of witnesses. And I think, you know, more than likely, some of our loved ones are in that great cloud of witnesses, watching us run our race. And this is the deal. They're wanting to encourage us. They're wanting us to draw strength from their stories, learn from their lives, and then let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So the hope is that we can learn from their stories. So you look at Samson's story and how it's failure after failure after failure, but he finally kind of figured it out, and God used him once again, as we talked about last week. Or so many of these great people of faith, you see their stories and what God did through them, and hopefully there are lessons you can pull out of their lives. So in this series, what we're kind of looking at is what if they could come out of the stands, out of the cloud of witnesses, out of the stands, and onto the track with us where we're running the race, and like run a lap or two with us. What counsel would they give us? What would Samson say to you? He might just hit you upside the head with a jawbone, but what would he say? What would he say to you? What would his wise counsel be to you? What would Mary, in the case of today, what would she say? Or Elijah, who we'll look at, or John the Baptist. What were some of these giants of the faith? What would their counsel be? If they could come and run a lap and say, hey, I can help you run your race better. I can help you let go of some of the things that are entangling you and distracting you and holding you back from God's best. I can give you some insight on that because I've run my race already. I'm up in the cloud. You know, I've run my race. I have some insight I can share with you. Well, man, why not cash in on that? Why not learn all that we can from them and from their stories? So that's what we're trying to do in this series. So today is Mary, and Mary's story is really interesting because Mary is just living a normal life. You know, she's a young girl, probably scholars say anywhere from, you know, 13 to 16. She's engaged to be married. Her life is kind of laid out in front of her. She's going to marry this guy named Joseph, and they're going to build a life together, have a family, build a life together. And then all of a sudden, there's like this major shift where, God sends angels to talk to her, and God says things like, "You're pregnant." And it's not a man. She's like, "I know because I'm a virgin." And he's like, "Okay, yeah, but you're still pregnant." Okay, so that would, how many of you that would blow your mind? If God told me I was pregnant, it would blow my mind. I'm just telling you right now. Okay, so anybody told me I was pregnant, it would blow my mind. All right, just because of my age. If I was younger, maybe, but no. Okay, so anyway, I turn 55 tomorrow, so I finally matched the speed limit, but at least I don't match the speed limit by my house, which is 65, so it's all good. So anyway, so I think if there was one life lesson from Mary, it would be that when God asks you to do something outside your comfort zone, because what God asked her to do was absolutely positively outside of her comfort zone. When God asks you to do something outside your comfort zone, make the most of that God moment. It's a God encounter. It's a God moment. Make the most of it. So we're going to figure out how to make the most of it. Now, what time of year do we normally talk about Mary, Mother of Jesus? Have you been outside today? It does not feel like Christmas, right? It's hot, okay? So I should be preaching about hell. So, right. So anyway, so to kind of get you back in touch with this, I want to watch a little monologue, and it's kind of like a Mary telling her story, a little bit older in life, kind of telling her story and what this all kind of meant to her a little bit. So watch this, and then we'll dive back into the message.
As long as I can remember, we'd been waiting for the Messiah to come for us. My family, our tribe, our whole nation. I always knew that he'd come, but... well, let's be honest. It's not like I'm from Jerusalem or someplace special. I'm just a girl. From Nazareth. And everybody knows that not much good comes from Nazareth. Never has. Angel had come to the wrong house with his announcement. But if that's what God wanted, well, who was I to tell him he was wrong? And Joseph, well, God bless that wonderful man. He could have joined in with everybody else. He could have had me sent away. He could have even had me killed. But he just never broke the promise to marry me. And so when he had to go to Bethlehem for the census, I was honored to ride by his side. Even with heartburn and bloated cankles and 9 months of pregnancy behind me. You know those women who try different things to induce labor, like going on frequent walks or eating spicy foods? What they should do is go on a bumpy 70-mile trip to Bethlehem. Not long after I got there, and I'd never done this myself, but even I knew it was time. And with every wave of pain, I tried to ignore the fact that my family wouldn't be there to help me, and that I'd be bringing this baby into the world without the familiarity of home. But when Jesus finally came, I forgot all of that, though. I just wrapped him in cloths and tried to make the most comfortable bed I could for him with the only thing I had, which was an animal's feeding trough. Joseph said I should have been sleeping then, but I couldn't stop staring at him. There he was. The one the angel had told me about. My heart was so full, I couldn't even find words big enough to express it. I know I'm not the first young mother to bring a child into this world. It's always been that way. But as I look down at my son, my Redeemer, I knew that he would change everything because he'd already changed me.
So, did God pull Mary out of her comfort zone in a big way? I mean, like major, big time. So, God does that. We have these, I just call them God moments, but these God moments where we have these encounters with God. And he's always in the middle of those, trying to invite us into something else, but it's always a little scary or maybe a lot scary. It's rarely what we're used to. It's rarely a comfortable place to be. It's rarely status quo, you know? If it was that, you wouldn't need God to invite you into anything or pull you out of anything. It's almost always something kind of radical and almost illogical that he's calling us into. And I believe for every single one of you, I mean, no doubt at all about this, that God wants to do that with you. You can kind of choose like just this life that you kind of carve out for yourself and still go to heaven. And, you know, I'm not saying you're going to have a bad life. I'm just saying you're going to miss the best things God created you for. You're going to miss what he actually made you to do. You're going to miss experiencing God do these amazing things and then joining him in that where you realize at the end, man, I didn't miss God and what he called me to. I lived out this life he created me for. And that's what I want so much for all of us to experience, me included, just to say yes to God consistently, you know, where we can experience him doing the God-only stuff, you know, that only he can pull off through people like us, people who are Samsons and Rahabs and just normal everyday people like Mary, who God steps into our lives and does phenomenal things through. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit this morning, about these God moments, now God pulls us out of our comfort zones. So a few things about these God moments. I think God moments oftentimes, maybe every time, but oftentimes can seem like invitations to the impossible. So what God was inviting Mary into absolutely seemed impossible. And as she's hearing, I mean, it's already like crazy enough. She has an angel who's personally talking to her. That doesn't happen all that often, right? How many of y'all have that's happened like this morning or this weekend, right? So she's already had this incredible encounter with this angelic being, right? But in this conversation, this angelic being delivers some pretty amazing news and says in Luke 1, verse 31 through 34, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. That all sounds okay right there, you know. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. And then it dawns on her, well, wait a minute. He's not talking about me and Joseph. There's something else going on here. And she says, how will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. So to her, she's like, okay, this seems absolutely impossible as a virgin that I could give birth to a child, that I could conceive a child and give birth to a child. This is absolutely impossible. And so often, what God calls you to, what God invites you into, will seem impossible to you. You look at your story, you look at your track record, you look at your skill set, you look at what you view as your limitations, you look at the identity that you've taken on for yourself, you're like, God, that can't be done. Maybe it could be done through them, or maybe it could be done through them, and I'll give you a few suggestions on who maybe you could do that through. Remember, Moses did the same thing. I'll give you a few suggestions on who else you could talk to, but I'm not your guy. I'm not the one that you can do that through. To me, it looks absolutely impossible. Not honestly based on who God is or who you know what God's all about or the power that he has, but because of the limitations we place on ourselves, based on who we know, or at least who we think we know we are. It appears to be impossible to us. Oftentimes when God comes and makes that big ask to you and says, man, I'm wanting you to step into this. I want you to let go of that and step into this. I want you to start serving here. I want you to let go of that. I want you to start making a difference in this way. Oftentimes, it seems impossible based on what we know about ourselves. But to God, it's not impossible at all. Look at Mark 10, verse 27. Jesus is talking to his disciples about different people, like rich people who are kind of dedicated and idolized their wealth, making it into heaven. And they're saying it's basically an impossible deal. And it says in Mark 10, 27, Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. And that's what you have to come back to. If God is calling you to it, you know, if he's saying, I want you to go there and do that, if I want you to leave this and do this now, I want you to let go of that and pursue this deal. If God's calling you into it, it's absolutely not impossible. Yes, if it's up to you, it most likely is. If it's up to me, it absolutely is, right? But with God, it's absolutely possible. And so throughout my life, in my ministry life especially, I've just seen these different places where God's called me into things that seemed I know they were way beyond me. And I would even tell God, God, that's way beyond me. And if you don't step in, this will never, ever happen. I like to talk to people, but not to people in front of people. how many of you don't mind talking to people? Some of you don't even like to talk to people, but right? But you're like, you don't have any trouble having a conversation with people, but if you want to stand up here and have a conversation with a lot of people and not have a conversation, it's just you just have to like talk and hope is getting through, but you're not really getting, you know, they're not talking back to you. It's a little intimidating, right? Okay, so to me, when God said, this is what I want you to do with your life, my goodness, it was like impossible. Like, I can talk to anybody one-on-one. I'll talk to complete strangers at Walmart. I don't care. I talk to anybody. But a whole bunch of anybody's at the same time, and they're not talking back, that's different, right? That's impossible. And no, all things are possible with God. I'm like, okay, let's figure this out, because it's even impossible to me. The first time I did it, I think it was impossible, more impossible for the people hearing it than it was for me. My best friend, Brian, he was there for that. They had something called a lay pastor, lay something. It was like a lay person is like a person, like you ought to all be lay persons, like people who kind of go to church, but they're not like the professional Christians like us who get paid to be, you know, Christians. And, it was called Lay Person Sunday or something. And so I was just a lay person. I was just a normal person who went to the church. And the pastor asked me to speak. And I tell you what, it was bad. And I don't even know what I said. I was just sweating. And I don't even know I tried to put these thoughts together. And finally, Pastor Adams came out and just kind of put his arm around me. I was thankful, and I went and sat down. glad it was over. And it was just a little bitty church up in Simpson, Louisiana, with nobody there, you know. And it's impossible what God calls you into sometimes. But that's a good thing, because when God comes through, then God gets all the glory for it. He gets all the credit for it. And you know you're a part of God doing something that only God could have done. And I'm just telling you, I don't care how old you are or how often maybe you said no to God or how often you haven't really looked and asked God, God, do you have something more? Is there something more you're trying to gift me with, equip me for, say through me, do through me? You're never too old to say yes to God. And that would be my encouragement, is it may seem absolutely impossible, and that's a good thing that it's impossible, but all things are possible with God. So walk into that. Trust him with that, okay? Which leads to the next point of what I think Mary would say, and she certainly exemplified, and that is, you know, God makes these invitations that seem impossible, but when God moments come, just say yes. Like, I don't have it figured out. I don't know how, you know, a virgin's going to give birth to a son. I don't know how spirit conception works, or how, I have no idea how any of this is going to work, God. You know, none. I don't know what's going to happen with Joseph. I mean, he could have had her stoned to death. That was the law of the land. He could have just abandoned her, and he had thought, and remember, if you read the Christmas story, Joseph initially said he was just going to, like, break off the engagement and kind of go quietly. He wasn't going to humiliate her publicly or anything like that. He could have done that, too, but he wasn't going to do that. He was just going to, like, let's just break this thing off, and we'll kind of go our separate ways, and maybe nobody will notice, which everybody would have noticed. We'll just kind of do that. You know, you're pregnant. It's not mine, and just go your way. I'll go my way and have a good life. And he thought about doing that before he had his own God moment, before he had his own divine encounter. He thought about that. But despite all that, Mary just said yes. Look at Luke 1:38. She says, I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. She said, hey, I'm all in. And she was young, but she said, I'm all in. And again, I don't care if you're young or old, my hope for you is you say, God, I'm absolutely all in. I don't hold anything back. Whatever you invite me into, I don't want to hold anything back. I want to be a part of that. So this idea of it's impossible, but just say yes, is something that I think a lot of times when I talk to people, they're like, you know, I don't know that God speaks to me. I don't know that God has anything for me. I don't know that God wants to, you know, really has a purpose for me. I just tell you, He does. God is constantly speaking. God is constantly trying to get our attention. And I don't know if it's just from we've just gotten used to blowing God off, you know, or we've just gotten self-absorbed with doing our own thing. Or we just learned to block out His voice, or there's too many distractions from all the noise of the information age that we live in and the busyness of the age that we live in. But I tell you, it's not a speaking problem on God's part. We haven't slowed down enough to hear. But God is constantly, constantly talking, constantly trying to invite us into the more, always up to that. So you have these God moments available, and He says, hey, it may seem impossible, please just say yes and just trust me in this. In Mark 5:36, I don't know if you remember this story, but it's kind of a messed up story because the disciples have this guy coming up. Jesus has just healed this woman who had this issue with blood. You can read about that. And He's just healed her. And in the middle of this whole thing going on, this guy comes up and he's wanting to get Jesus' attention to heal his daughter who's already dead. And the disciples say, hey, they're very compassionate. They say, your daughter's already dead, so leave Jesus alone. I mean, that's what they say. I mean, my goodness, they would not be on staff at Crossroads. She's already dead. I mean, there's no, like, I'm so sorry that she passed away and she didn't make it. And is there anything we can do to help your family, or can we send dinner? None of that. You know, let our food and flowers ministry do something. None of that. Hey, she's dead. Leave Jesus alone. I mean, it's like that was them. And Jesus overheard that, and He steps into that conversation. And in Mark 5:36, overhearing what they said, Jesus told them, "Don't be afraid. Just believe. Don't be afraid." In other words, He's very fearful. He's lost someone He's loved. Don't be afraid, just believe. And Jesus went and brought healing, brought death, you know, back to life again. So just believe, don't be afraid, say yes to God. That's the key. So God moments can be invitations to the impossible. They can also be places where, you know, they absolutely are places where you just need to say yes to God. They can also open the door for God's blessings. They can open the door for God's blessings. And sometimes I think you can't see that in the middle of the turmoil, the uncomfortable part of it, when life seems like maybe God's turned your life upside down a little bit to get you out of this comfortable place into what He's called you to. You can't always see that. And I just want to encourage you, when that happens, you need to get some people who've walked down this road a little bit, who have a little life behind them, who said yes to God a few times, went through the struggle of it, gotten into those, you know, out of those comfortable places, into those uncomfortable places, and journeyed with God through that, to pour into you and to speak truth to you and to encourage you and to tell you that, hey, there are blessings waiting for you. It's on the other side of this, but this is a blessed deal. God is in this. If God has called you to this, He's going to take you through this. He's going to provide for you through this, and there will be blessings that follow. So stay the course with this. There are blessings that follow. God moments open the door for God's blessings. So it's kind of neat. Mary, I'm sure, was feeling pretty intimidated by her own family, most likely, probably feeling, you know, by the community, kind of outcast a little bit, dealing with some things, I'm sure, with Joseph's, like, I'm pretty sure that was an angel who came to me, but really, this is what's really going on. I mean, you know, how that would be hard, right? As a guy, it would be hard. And so she's in the middle of all this, and she goes to a seasoned woman of God, Elizabeth, and just is, I'm sure, just pouring out her heart to her. You know, this is what I'm feeling. I mean, I know God is in this, but my goodness, this is not easy. This is so difficult. And this is what Elizabeth says to her. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill His promise to her." And just saying, hey, you got to keep the faith that God's going to fulfill His promise, but you're blessed, and there are blessings. I know it doesn't feel like it now. I mean, you're dealing with the early, you know, all the junk you deal with early on in pregnancy. It was brutal for me back in those days. And all that stuff, you know, all the nausea and all that. I mean, she's dealing with all this stuff, plus all the social outcast side of it she's dealing with, and all the social tension she's dealing with. And she's dealing with all of that, you know, and even spiritually, just, God, I'm trying to be faithful to you, but this is so, so difficult. And she says, hey, God's going to keep his promises. You're blessed. There are blessings on the other side of this. Blessed is your child. There are blessings. Stay the course. There are blessings. And you need to get with some people who will encourage you like that. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. I think Elizabeth was one of those people, the key person maybe, for Mary who did that for her in her life. I think Mary became that kind of person. I think as Mary journeyed with Jesus and saw what Jesus, who Jesus was, and the power that he had and the anointing on his life, I think she had that same perception of, I believe God can do impossible things. I believe God is phenomenal what he's going to do through Jesus. And it's kind of incredible. In John, in the book of John, it's built around seven different miracles. The first one of those miracles, the first miracle Jesus did, is an interesting story because they're at a wedding feast, but I guess Mary's like in charge of the wine or something, like Leanne would be for one of our feasts. Just kidding, Leanne. Just kidding. And if you know Leanne, there's an inside joke there, and I shouldn't tell inside jokes on stage. But anyway, my bad. Okay, but they run out of wine, and that's a bad deal when you run out of wine. It's like a dishonor. You're dishonoring your guests if you run out of wine. And so she needs more wine quickly, and so she wants Jesus, you know, not to go down to Walmart and buy a few new boxes or something. She wants Jesus, like, to do a miracle, to create more wine somehow. And she's confident that he can do it. And I wonder, why was she so confident that he could pull it off? And I think the reason why she was so confident, I mean, going all the way back to the angel thing, that probably had a lot to do with it. But I bet during his life, he had done things along the way where she's like, he does have this power. You know, there was probably a day where she said, we're out of milk, go to the market and buy some milk. He's like, we're not out of milk, check the fridge. I'm like, oh, man, he did it again, you know, or hey, I need you to go do this, like, it's done, go see, oh, okay, your room is clean, how'd that happen, you were out there, you know, I mean, I bet he could do stuff. I'm not saying he did that, it's not in the Bible, I'm just wondering, but she obviously had confidence that he could do stuff like this, because at this wedding deal, she says, I want you to do this thing, and perform this miracle, and make more wine, and he says, it's not my time, I don't want these people to know that I can do all this yet, it's not really, and it was his time. She just needed to push him, God was using her to kind of push him into his time, into his calling, into out of his comfort zone, so to speak, and it's kind of amazing, because she just walks off and tells the people, hey, whatever he says, just do that, and we'll have plenty of wine. And then the miracle comes. So as you journey with God, you get to this place where you can encourage others on their journey. But until you get there, until you've had some of these experiences where you believe God for the impossible, you step in and let God do the impossible through you, you answer that call to get out of your comfort zone, until you have a track record with some of that on your own, you've got to have other people pouring that into you. So you need to put people like that around you in your life. You know, I have people in my small group who do that for me. I have friends who do that for me. I have friends who pour into me and just say, Terry, you got this. You know, you can do this. And I'm praying for you, and God's blessings are on you. Okay, so those are just a few things about God moments. So if God calls you out of your comfort zone, what is some wise counsel when leaving the comfort zone? Some things that I think we can learn from Mary's life and just from other people who've gotten out of the comfort zone and followed Jesus and the things he called them to and created them for. The first of those is, do life intimately connected with Jesus. Do life intimately connected with Jesus. In John 15, Jesus tells a story. It's just a parable, and he says, you know, it's kind of like a vineyard. We're going to be in Napa Valley tomorrow afternoon. We're going to be in vineyard country tomorrow afternoon. My wife and I, and John and Helen, you'll be there too, right? But they have all these vineyards out there, you know, and you see that you have like the main vine coming up out of the ground, and then it kind of runs along. You have all these different little branches, and as long as the branch is connected to the vine, it can get like nutrition and water and the things it needs to thrive and to live and actually make grapes to bear much fruit, right? And so Jesus tells this story, and he says, hey, it's like I am like this main vine coming out. That's me, and you're the branch. And to the extent that you stay connected to me and let me do my work through you and in you, you can bear much fruit. And then he goes on and uses the analogy of pruning. Like sometimes God has to clip some things away. You know, sometimes God has to lift up some of those branches that are on the ground. Sometimes you have broken places in your life that need healing and restoration. And what we do in Beth Shalom, where you just get your heart back, you get healed back up again, he just lifts you back up again. Sometimes you need that. Sometimes there are things that need to be aggressively cut out, you know. And so the deal is two sides. You have to say, God, I want to stay just so closely connected to you. The word he uses in John 15 is, I have to abide in you. I have to live in connection with you. And then at the same time, you have to be like radically committed to dealing with anything that gets between you and Jesus. So whatever that is, whatever the distractions are, whatever's kind of growing there that doesn't belong, that's robbing you of effectiveness and fruitfulness for God, let him show you what those things are and prune those things away. It also means getting your heart back, letting him lift you back up again. And if you need to get, you know, just healed up on the inside, be made whole and holy by God on the inside that you can thrive for him, then do that. I think all of us come to faith in Jesus with a cap. And that cap oftentimes is our brokenness and maybe our own bent towards sin. And when we let him free us from the penalty of sin, and then when we repent and go in a different direction and stop going into those things that were causing all these negative consequences in our life, and then we let him, that's pruning away stuff, and then let him lift us up and heal us and restore our brokenness, my goodness, the calves get lifted. And then you're in that place of being made whole and holy in his love where you can say yes to God for whatever it is he's calling you to. So this deal of staying closely connected to Jesus is key to getting out of your comfort zone and thriving in whatever it is God is calling you to. Okay, so do life intimately connected with Jesus. John 15:5, I like the message paraphrase of that verse. It says, when you're joined with me, this is Jesus speaking, when you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Nothing good will grow out of your life. Nothing eternally good and blessed will grow out of your life. You can have a good life, do lots of good things, you know, but nothing eternally good and blessed will grow out of your life. Okay, so do life intimately connected with Jesus. And then also lean on people who will encourage you, like Elizabeth did for Mary. Again, Luke 1:56, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Maybe it was just too difficult to be with Joseph in that season or with her family or just the people back in the hometown, you know. I don't know exactly why, but she stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. I know something Elizabeth did consistently was encourage her. And you've got to put people around you who will encourage you on the journey, who will encourage you to stay the course and keep the faith. When you don't see the fruit growing yet, all you're feeling is the pruning. You know God's called you to the impossible, and all you're dealing with is the discomfort of what you left behind. When you're in those seasons, you've got to have people who've been there, who love you, who walk closely with God, who will encourage you along the way. So it's kind of interesting for me. The verse that I was called to ministry with was from Joshua 1:9. And it's a verse that I just found out this morning. It's actually the theme for the faith walk coming up next week. So it's one of those things. It's a verse that a lot of us just rely on so often. And my buddy Dave Dooley up in Oklahoma City is a busy pastor. He's got a lot going on in his life. And is you know, on a Sunday morning, he's got his services. He's got all the stuff he has happening at his church. And every Sunday morning, he sends me a prayer. Every Sunday morning, he says, God, what do I need to say to Terry? Just encourage me. He's one of these people for me. I lean on people who encourage me on my journey. And years ago, when God called me to leave the Army and go into full-time ministry, and I had just made captain, and my dad said, you're making a mistake, and my dad was very discouraging. my dad loved me, and I loved my dad, but my dad said, Terry, you're making a mistake. You're going to regret this for the rest of your life. You need to stay in the military. You need to keep doing what you're doing. You're doing great at it. Do not go into the ministry. And he talked about church people. He said, do not trust those people with your life. And I said, Dad, I don't trust any person with my life. I trust Jesus with my life. He said, I know that's what you think. You know, I was young. I know that's what you think. But God's not the one who's going to wound you. They are. And, you know, and he was just so broken from his experiences as a pastor that he did not want to see his son, you know, who he was very proud of and what I was doing in the military, you know, leave all that behind to go into the ministry. He did all he could to discourage me from it. And so what turned the tide for me was I was reading a devotion, and the key verse for that devotion was Joshua 1:9, where God said, you know, be strong and courageous. You know, this is a radical adjustment I've called you to. Hey, Siri. And it's a radical adjustment I called you to. But it's not, hey, always turn Siri off on your phone if you're going to have it out in your hand when you're talking. Yeah, baby. Hey, Siri, who do the Saints play today?
The Saints face the Cowboys at 1920.
Cowboys. Let's pray against the Cowboys right now. So do I. Just kidding. Okay, I'm sorry. I'll put Siri down. Okay, so what are we talking about today? So anyway, so we got a little time. Okay, so the deal is what God used in was that verse, Joshua 1:9. And so this morning, you know, I had a, last night was kind of, I had a funeral yesterday afternoon, and then we were actually having my birthday supper, and then I got called out on a deal with CPSO that was pretty bad, and just a hard, one of the harder ones. And so that was heavy, and then, but then I was, you know, I couldn't sleep after that. So I went to see Jonathan at the hospital after that, and it was just a hard, you know, just it was a hard. It was just draining for me, you know, at every level, draining for me. And this morning, David sent me this, and he doesn't know Joshua 1:9 is what I was called to the ministry with. He doesn't know what we're talking about today. He doesn't know any of that. He just, you know, he just sent me this. He said, Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And he said, may God be with you as you speak this morning. And that's just that's the goodness of our God. He knows where you're at. But you got to have people in your life who will encourage you that way, who see where you are on your journey, and they see where you need to go next. And they honor the work that God is doing in you, and they bring that out. Not like in a condemning, preaching, condescending way, like you need to get your act together. They just lift you up to the next place God is calling you to. So you got to stay connected to Jesus, but man, you got to have some other people in your life who are encouraging you in that direction. And you know, I had something else happen after the first service. But the lady just came and gave me a word from the Lord. The same thing, just encouraged me in the next thing that God is calling me to in my life, in my gifting, in my calling. So lean on people who encourage you. I love Hebrews 10:24-25. It says, "Let us consider." That means, like, think about it. Give careful thought. Some of your Bibles say that. Give careful thought. Give careful thought to how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. So give some thought. How can I encourage them to love better? How can I encourage them, not beat them up, but how can I encourage them to love better? How can I encourage them to do the good things God created them to do? How can I encourage them to do that? Yes, some are, but don't give up this habit of meeting together. You got to get together with people. Or some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So you got to have people in your life like that. So wise counsel for leaving the comfort zone. Do life intimately connected to Jesus. Learn to lean on people who encourage you. And then the last one just is to focus on God's promises instead of the problems. Focus on God's promises instead of the problems. Mary had promises from God. This is who your son is. This is his name. This is who he'll become. This is what he's going to do. He's the Savior of the world. Now, that wouldn't happen for 33 years, you know, plus a pregnancy. 33 years. But that was the promise of God. You're going to be raising my son. She had to hold to that, that God would be her provision, that God would take her through all of that, and she did. And you have to do the same thing. When it's not comfortable, when it's messed up and it's difficult, you got to hold on to those promises, you know? When life is just, it may not even be related to God pulling you out of your comfort zone. It may just be the stuff of life when it's not easy. You got to hold on to the promises that God has given you, of who He says that you are, of the calling He's placed on your life, of His faithfulness to you, of His provision for you, of His love for you, of how you, in the middle of that pressure and crisis, how you're to love well and to pour into others, even though you don't feel like it. You wear the name of Jesus, you know? And so I can't just say, well, I don't feel good today, or I've had a rough weekend, and just treat everybody else poorly. No, Jesus wants to love through me. God is good all the time, and He wants to live out His goodness through me, no matter how good I feel at the moment. Okay? So the deal is, I have to keep coming back to those promises about the goodness of God and His work in me and His hope for me and all that He's done for me in the past and all that He's called me to in the future. I have to keep coming back to those again and again and again. And I draw strength from those. I draw strength from Jesus directly. I draw strength from other people who encourage me. And I draw strength from the Word of God as I remember what He's promised and what He said. And I have people who've spoken words to me that they've spoken words over me. And I go back to those words like, no, this is who God has said by His Spirit you are, and you are called to. And I go back to those like, no, I know who I am. I know what I'm called to, and I draw strength and encouragement from that. And you have to do the same thing. So I want to encourage all of you to invite God. This is a scary prayer to pray. But say, God, I invite you. I ask you to pull me out of my comfort zone. Because we said at a faith walk I worked at a few years back, we said, the comfort zone is not the growth zone. And it's not, you know. God, I welcome you to pull me out of my comfort zone. Pull me out of all the things I'm trying to control and manage to make life work, you know. I let go of all that to embrace whatever it is you have for me. And just see what He does, you know, see what He does. Hopefully He won't make you pregnant, but just see what He does, okay? Right? Just see what He does, okay? And so I want to invite you to pray that bold prayer, that brave prayer to God this morning. And then to trust Him, as we've talked about this morning, to be your provision into whatever it is He's calling you to. So I want to ask you to please stand. We're going to close out a little bit differently. I'm going to pray for you, and I want to read one scripture over you, and then I want to pray for you. And then we're going to sing this song that's just, your promises never fail. And I want you to be encouraged by the promises of God as we sing that together. So one of my favorite passages of scripture is from Isaiah 40, verse 27 to 31. Just think about this in the middle of the uncomfortable places. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. I've been there before, trying to do what God wants, and I feel like He's not hearing me, and I'm kind of whining and complaining about it, like He doesn't see me. He's not, I know you promised this, God, but I don't see it happening right now. What's going on? What's up, you know, God? Verse 28, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even the young, even the youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So God, I pray, Lord, that for all of us, God, this would be a holy moment, Lord, where we embrace whatever it is you have for us. That, God, we would embrace our calling. We would embrace the purpose you created us for. God, we'd understand, as Ephesians 2:10 says, we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which you had figured out long before we ever even came on the scene. God, may we embrace that and go after that, I pray in Jesus' name. And God, I pray that anyone here this morning who's kind of one of those tough seasons, you know, it's a tough part of the journey. Maybe they feel a little hopeless. They need a little inspiration. I pray they feel the love of their brothers and sisters around them. I pray that they're in a small group or someplace where they can just, you know, get loved on consistently and encouraged and prayed for consistently. They can do that for others. And God, I pray for Jesus, you just to deepen that connection with them. Let them know you love them. You're there for them. And I pray that in these moments as we sing this song, God, and look at some of your promises, Lord, that we'd be strengthened by your word and by the promises of who you are and of your faithfulness to us, Lord. So I just pray that you would speak into our hearts this morning. In your name, Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.